ahead and we invite children of any age to come forward. Yay. Thanks for being up here this morning. Thanks for being in worship. We just heard Jesus say that the most important commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. And every week when we come to church, we're here to learn about love, about how much God loves us and how we are called to love others. But you know, this is a great word, but we use it a lot, don't we? We use it to mean a lot of different things, like, I love my family. I love this church. I love Moose Tracks ice cream. And I love her boots. See, we use the word love to say a lot of different things. But when Jesus used this word love and said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself, he wasn't talking about feelings. Like, oh, you should feel loving all the time toward everybody. No, he was talking about how we should treat other people and how we should act. Because, you know, there are some times when people aren't very nice. And there may be people we don't really like very much. But Jesus says we still should treat them with kindness and respect and with love. So it's all about how we act and how we treat other people. So sometimes if you find yourself not feeling very loving towards somebody, that's okay. You can pray about that. What's most important is how you treat other people. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for reminding us over and over again how much you love us. And you teach us to love you and to love other people. Help us to act in ways that are kind and loving and help all people to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can go back and sit with your friends or parents or grandparents, whoever came with you. We've been on this journey together as a congregation for the past few weeks through two chapters of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21 and chapter 22. We've been walking very slowly through these two chapters of Jesus' life. And it's been kind of rough because people are after Jesus. These are chapters that are filled with controversy. You may remember that at the beginning of chapter 21, Jesus enters into Jerusalem and goes straight to the temple and turns over the tables and makes everybody mad. And from that moment on, everybody who's anybody in Jerusalem wants to get rid of Jesus. And so they come after him, one group after another, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. We met them last week. And now we come back around and it's the Pharisees again. But this time, they've brought in a ringer. This time, they've got a lawyer. This is the only time that a lawyer shows up in the Gospel of Matthew, and he's working on behalf of the Pharisees. This guy is an expert in all 613 commandments of the Torah. He knows them backwards and forwards, and he is ready to go head-to-head in debate with anybody on questions and interpretations of Jewish law. And so the Pharisees push him forward to confront Jesus and to test him. And so the lawyer steps up and says, teacher. Now that's a clue right there. Anytime somebody calls Jesus teacher in Matthew's gospel, they're hostile. They don't like him and they're trying to trap him. Teacher, he says, which commandment in all the law is the greatest? Seems like a harmless question. But it was a hot topic in Jesus' day, and there were basically two camps. There were those who said, yes, there are some commandments that we need to highlight and lift above others. And there were others who said, you can't do that. You don't get to pick and choose one commandment over the other. All 613 are equal, and if you break one, you break them all. You can't lift one up above the others. And so it may be that these Pharisees are testing Jesus to see which camp he's from. But he responds to the question, as Jesus always is able to do in all of his beauty and brilliance, in a way that evades their categories, in a way that shuts them down. At the end of our text, I loved how it said, nobody dared ask him anything after this. They give up. What he does is he takes a commandment from the book of Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And Deuteronomy says, and with all your strength. Matthew doesn't include that for some reason, but that's how many of us learn it. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he reaches into Leviticus and takes another commandment that is now inseparable from it. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all that you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Every other law in the Torah hangs on these two things. Wow. Jesus has handed on to us a rule of life. Everything we do in our life with God hangs on these two commandments. This one commandment, really. Because our love of God, our love of neighbor, and love of self are all interconnected, and you can't do one without the other. So we have before us, I think, everything we can work on. I mean, if we just work on this commandment, we'll have our work cut out for us for a lifetime. I could stand up here and preach on this commandment for the rest of my life and never say enough about it. I'm not going to do that, by the way, just so you know. But we could study it and dig into it. What does it mean to love God with your whole heart? What does it mean to love God with your whole mind? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Who is my neighbor? We could wrestle with all of these questions forever. And we could spend our lives trying to live into this commandment of Jesus. And that's exactly what we're called to do. This is discipleship right here. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, had a fancy church word for it. He called it sanctification. He said, yes, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and are covered by God's grace, not by anything that we do or deserve or earn. And that's the beginning. I got to spend some time yesterday with our confirmands on retreat. And I was thinking about how confirmation is that part of our lives, that moment in our lives when we say for ourselves, yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. But that's only the beginning. Confirmation is not a graduation. We don't check that box and then say that we're done. It's the beginning of a journey of a lifetime, growing ever deeper in love with God and in love with our neighbors. That's why we come to church Sunday in and Sunday out. That's why we do all the things that we do in our journey of faith, is to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. So as we consider this commandment of Jesus, there's so many different things that they inspire and get us to think about. I think one of the big questions that came up a lot in Bible study and that comes up for me is, well, what is love? If we are called to love God and love our neighbor, what does that mean? As I shared with the children, that word love means a lot of different things. And I have to confess something this morning. Sometimes when I think about this commandment to love God and love neighbor, I settle for a definition of love that is really weak. I get to thinking that love is just sort of this generalized, benevolent feeling toward God and all people. As if I can sit in my armchair at home and love God and love the world and never have anything demanded of me. Yeah, I might go on Facebook and tag an article that's about, you know, income inequality or something. But that's all it takes, really. It doesn't cost me anything. I can love God and love neighbor. That's easy. I can check that box. But is that what love is? If we settle for that kind of love as followers of Jesus Christ, then I don't have much hope for the world or for the church. No, the love that Jesus Christ calls us to is love in action. It's an action verb. It is making the choice every day to act in a way that will promote the well-being of another, that will show my love and dedication and commitment to God, no matter what it costs me. The kind of love that we are called to in the Christian life is modeled for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who walked from village to village, looking for the lost, healing the sick, caring about the wellness of people's bodies and minds and spirits, seeking out those who were left out, welcoming the unlovable like the tax collectors and the prostitutes, sharing again and again the vision of the kingdom of God, stirring up trouble wherever he went. And as I pondered the kind of love that Jesus lived out, I noticed something about this particular text. It's in the middle of these chapters of controversy. Jesus says these words to a hostile audience. He is surrounded by hostility, even those who you might say hate him and want to get rid of him. And yet he announces love in their presence. And then we go into chapter 23, and Jesus stands up and says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe to you, blind guides!" And I'm reading that thinking, is that love? Jesus just said, love your neighbor as yourself, and here he is calling out these religious leaders. Is that love? I think it is. I think Jesus loves these religious leaders. They're his people. He's one of them. And he wants so desperately for them to see who he is and to receive what God is doing through him right in front of them. He knows his time is short. And it's like he wants to shake them up and wake them up. And he holds them accountable for the way they have been interpreting the law and oppressing their people. And at the end of chapter 23, he weeps for them and for all of Jerusalem. How I want to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not listen. So love is not always gentle. Love is not weak and sitting in my armchair with a general benevolent feeling. Love is sometimes standing up and speaking a hard truth to hold people accountable in a hostile environment. I thought about that a lot this week as we heard in the news all this preparation for the demonstrations in Shelbyville and Murfreesboro, which went off without violence, thanks be to God. But with these voices of racism and hatred coming into our community, the question many of us were wrestling with was, how do we stand as Christ followers in the midst of this hostility and hatred? And Jesus gives us that example. We can stand up and speak truth and say, no, that is not love. That is not what Christ followers do. We do not promote hatred. That is an act of love. And it is lived out by our Savior. When we want to see what love looks like, we look to Jesus. And we see the ultimate act of love when he gave his life on the cross for those who didn't deserve it or understand it. And so when I try to pass off a love that costs me nothing, I'm not living into the love that God calls me to live into. So the question for each and every one of us is, how will we love? How are we loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? How will I love my neighbor as myself? Let us wake up every morning with that question on our lips, knowing that God gives us a new start every day to try again to love as God loves. And if we can commit ourselves to that, I believe God can use us to change the world. Amen.